So coming up this month, Matt and I talking about football, his football and my football. And then we have a masterclass, shooting evening matches. We with you win. Can anyone win you win ever? We had a cheerleader and balls and something competition. And at the end with Cross Counter, we tap into the sport portrait.
So without further ado, Big Man Smash Shutter is next.
You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
Konnichiwa, this is Liu Vogel.
Shalom, this is Matt Cohen.
Welcome to Big Lens Fast Shutter, where we demystify the world of sports photography. And if you have forgotten, and I know you haven't, it is never too late to send a couple of bucks or whatever currency you have our way. Since this is a 100% user-funded audio-visual entertainment, please click on the PayPal donations link on our website to show us how much you love us. Because we are here to make you a better sports photographer all day long. Now, news.
News. Here at News, both Ryu and I will tell you our best and worst shoot of the previous month. And we talk about ourselves, because we loved.
Let's talk about what happened in August of 2013. Matt Cohen, the good and the bad, please.
It was a pretty good month. I got back to shooting football. I'm shooting University of California football this year. Not quite as much fun as shooting Stanford these days, but still, I enjoy shooting football. So I've had two games so far. The first game was only so-so, but the second game I kind of got my timing back and remembered where to be on the field when different things were going to happen. So I was pretty happy with my second football shoot. First one was a little bit rough.
I think you have to tell people who don't really understand American football. Well, I guess not really high school as well, but the college football is very, very big in America.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were definitely 65,000 people at these
in
games.
In a university game, yeah. mind you.
Do people really not know that college football is big in the States?
No. American football is only played in America. Who the hell knows what else is going on? You know, nobody knows.
Yeah.
No. You're so American sometimes, Matt. You have to think globally, like globally.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. Well, it is a bad thing because you don't want to sound like, oh, of course. I mean, how could you not know that we don't play that the university
well,
level football?
I get that people wouldn't understand having 20,000 people at a rodeo or something, but I just assume that people understand, you know, Alabama and Stanford and whatever have big football teams.
University level sports is not big at all in Europe.
Like, okay, nothing. Well, here it's the non-existent. Europa Cup, right?
It's very, very big. It's very, very, very. It's, you can't. There's no comparison.
It's
to
like
it.
Minor. It's minor league football. College football here is minor league.
It's not even minor league football, Matt. It's much bigger than minor league, right? Like it's in some places much bigger than professional football.
Yeah, only where the college football team is very good and the pro team is very bad.
Exactly. And that doesn't happen over here. Here's only professional or bust, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, this was very educational for me.
Okay. And what was the bad stuff then?
I didn't really have any bad stuff. I had the last rodeo of the regular season in Southern California. People remember from last year, this is the one that I call the Country Club Rodeo because it's on a polo field and they bring in the dirt and they bring in the gates and all that. And then they have this big tent where they have all kinds of food and people just sit there and get drunk and watch the rodeo.
There you go.
But it was good. It's an invitational rodeo. So you have to be in the top 30 in the world to even be able to enter it. So kind of a fun rodeo to shoot. So yeah, I didn't have any bad shoots, just football and rodeo. It's good.
I love to go to a rodeo like that. I want to be a country club type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
A bit pampered. Yeah, that'll be good. I'll have to, like, eat ribs and watch rodeo. Anyway,
They had a nacho chip waterfall.
Oh, you know I'm going to get so fat when I go up. Okay, my best August, I went to Super Cup for the first time, which is, for those who don't know, maybe we don't really have to know, it's the Champions League winner from the previous season and the Europa League, who don't know and give a fuck about, winner for the previous season. But this time it was a big deal because it was Bayern Munich against Chelsea. Bayern Munich with a new manager, Pep Guardiola, who used to manage Barcelona, against the ex-manager of Real Madrid, or recent ex-manager of Real Madrid, Jose Mourinho. So it was a very, very big deal, and I got to shoot for Adidas for that one, and it was, you know, interesting. Wasn't the, I don't know, it's like, because it's one of those like preseason tournaments that, you know,
yeah,
no one really cares that much. They don't, the players don't care either. You can really see it. They don't really care that much. So I was like, okay, whatever. So it was interesting. I got to shoot that. So that was kind of like a half bad, half good. The good that I shot, I went to a very small town in Germany called Freiburg to shoot Guardiola for a magazine. And that was really interesting because only thing I did the entire game was shoot the manager the entire time. I looked at the pitch like, oh, maybe four or five times. So, oh, what a boring game. I'm just going to keep on shooting the manager. So that was interesting. And yeah, that was, I don't really have a bad either.
Where did you shoot him from? Did you still have to sit on the end line?
No. We got to shoot. This is a very weird place where you can't shoot on the end line. So you can't shoot next to the goal. There's no place for it. Wow. Like we can't, there's no space to put yourself there to shoot. So everyone had to shoot from the sidelines. And we were very, very close to the manager. So I guess it really worked out for everybody, you know, involved. So yeah. That's good. I mean, it's good to go to a stadium you've never been to before, you know. It's a bit of a new experience. It took like 7 hours for me to get there, but it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, no one has to know that. It's not like effort doesn't count in this job, you know. It's like, oh, it's good. That's it, though. That's it for me and Matt and everybody involved. And we will swiftly move on to Masterclass. In Masterclass, we pick a topic in sports photography and we serve it on a plate to your ears. You got something to say? Tell us at biglensfastshutter.com. By the way, I am recording this podcast from a hotel room in Evian, where I told Matt Cohen before we started the show that all the water that in this town is Evian water. I just thought it was a cool thing to say. Okay, never mind. We had a question from Nathan. And this is how it went. This is an email. Hi, I have just started taking photographs for a non-league football club, football meaning soccer, and was wondering if you could advise me on the best way of taking photographs at nighttime. When taking them, I found they were grainy and out of focus. I'm trying to find the correct combination of shutter speed and apertures. Hope you can give me some advice to help with this problem. Thanks, Nathan. It's an interesting problem because I found out a couple of things through Matt Cohen that a lot of American football matches are on during the day and not like really quite, not really often during the evening. But here in Europe, it's most of the time in the evening. It's very rare that we have day matches. England, we do because for some reason they start earlier than the rest of Europe. But in the continental Europe, we start matches maybe, 6, 7, 8. In some places at 10 p.m., like Spain. I don't know, whatever. A bit weird, Spanish people. So
pro football is on during the day.
See?
College and high school, a lot of those games are at night.
But that's because it's on Friday for high school.
High school is on Friday, generally on Friday night.
Because Saturday for college, right?
College, yeah.
That's a bit weird. College, that they have it then.
Because of TV, TV drives everything in college sports. Drives everything in all of sports? Right. But so you'll have games that start at noon on the East Coast and basically just run the whole day. And the like when I get my football schedule, I just get the dates, and then 2 weeks before they'll announce what time the game is, and it just depends on
TV.
TV.
Yeah, but I think the same thing.
Who they want to put on and what time zone the game is in and all of that. Yeah. So some games will be daytime and some will be night, but it's got nothing to do with anything other than TV.
It's the same over here as well. It's all dictated by TV, and certain leagues will have their schedules on like months before. But like for Spain, for instance, you only get to get the schedule like 2 weeks before, and they just, you know, swing things here and there depending on what kind of, you know, TV deals that they have. Enough with that. We want to know a bit more practical things, and what we should kind of break it down on how he was pointing out the fact that his photos came out grainy and out of focus. Now, Matt Cohen, what could have been his problem when shooting an evening match at his local football ground?
Okay, well, the first thing that I want to say about all of this is that if you let your camera make the decision on the settings, if you put it on program or aperture priority or shutter priority or whatever, the camera is going to see that everything is really dark and it's going to try to make everything 18% gray. And what happens is that the lights are only shining on the field, but you have all this dark sky behind it. And the camera is saying, oh, we need to properly expose all that. But the thing is that you need to let that go all the way black because nobody cares what's going on in the sky. It's dark. That's the whole point of it. What you want to do is meter for the faces of the players and the field so that whatever is going on in the field is going to be as close to properly exposed as possible. And this is necessarily going to make the sky darker, but that's a good thing. Because if you try to get the sky lighter, that's when the grain starts coming in because the camera is pushing the ISO up or it's lowering the shutter, which introduces blur. Everything about shooting at night starts with getting a right meter reading. It's really easy to do this. You just go during warm-ups and you shoot until the skin tone looks right. And you just lock it in because nothing's going to change. The lights are the lights. You'll get much better results doing it that way. That takes care of the grain, hopefully. Well, there are always situations where it's just going to be too dark and you need to just do what you can. In this situation, you always want to freeze the action and deal with the grain later because you can't do it the other way around. You can't reduce the grain and then take out the motion blur because it's already there. I've shot high school football in places where you could barely even see what was going on, much less take good pictures. And at that point, all you're doing is just trying to minimize the damage that's being done. If you need the pictures, you need the pictures. Get it at 500th of a second and wide open, as high ISO as your camera will go, and just get what you can get. The part about it being out of focus is a little bit more problematic. I don't know if this person has a whole lot of experience shooting in general, but also shooting wide open, where the tolerances are going to be a lot less. If a guy's arm is outstretched and you accidentally focus on his arm, if you're a 2A with a reasonably long lens, his face is going to be out of focus. So you really need to practice on focusing on the faces, the chest, you know, something that's close to the face so that everything will be in focus. Because if you're shooting at 2.8, again, your tolerance is going to be maybe a few inches, maybe a foot, but it'll be enough that if you miss, it's going to be out of focus. So you want to practice on your autofocus, getting to know how it's going to react to situations, getting to know the settings. I know that Ryu has made a couple posts about the Nikon D4 that isn't especially specific to that camera. There are different settings in your menus that you can use to say track for longer, track for shorter, take a picture as soon as it's in focus, shoot whether it's in focus or not. And it's up to you. We can't really go through every camera and figure out what's best, but figure it out. You know, shoot a practice, shoot a game that doesn't mean anything, and figure out what settings work the best for your autofocus. But then the other thing is that sometimes if you have a problem with your gear, if your lens and camera aren't in perfect calibration, even shooting at 2.8 with the cursor over what you want it won't be in focus. And if you're used to shooting outside during the day and you're shooting at 5.6 or something like that, and your margin for error is a matter of feet rather than a matter of inches, then you're not going to notice it. But when you drop down to 2.8 and you're shooting at night, you'll notice it a lot faster. So do some tests at 2.8 when it is light outside. You know, shoot a newspaper against a wall or a ruler or something like that. Make sure that your gear is in alignment and calibration, because if it's not, then you need to get it fixed, because nothing you're going to do is going to come out well. Again, manual exposure and know your autofocus system and make sure that your gear is in good shape. Those are my tips to shooting at night.
It's not easy because, as Matt said, a lot of stadiums, depending on, you know, high school stadiums where it's very poorly lit to top professional places where it looks like it's, you know, there's sunshine at 8 p.m. It really depends on the stadium for the lighting as well. What really you do need to do, as Matt pointed out as well, is the fact that you need to do set the exposure thing before the match starts. The lights tend to not differ when they're warming up and before they start the match, but sometimes they do. And what I usually do is that either I expose it towards the grass on the center of the pitch, because then I can just get most, like, you know, 99% of the shot, unless you want to get the shots of the manager, because then at the side of the pitch, things are a bit darker. So you need to compensate it manually when you have to shoot that, but that's really, you're not going to shoot them that much like I did. So in most cases, just, you know, expose to the grass and see how it looks on the screen when you're shooting digital. You might as well have a look and see if it actually is, it's the type of color and type of light that you have and that you want. And after that, yeah, you just set it and just leave it there. The problem is that, for instance, if you don't have a 2.8 lens, you have a, you know, f4, then you have to lower your shutter speed as well, and also you have to bump up your ISO. Also check how far your ISO goes up. If it goes up very, very high, that's fine, but you also have to check and see how that picture looks. If it's this crazy grainy mess at ISO, I don't know, 3200, then don't use 3200. Go down to like 1600, where it should be a lot less. But then in places where the pitch is quite dark, you need to then lower your shutter speed as well, especially if your lens only goes up to like f4. In that case, I've tested, because I had to use the Nikon D2X and D2H back in the days, and I really struggled with pitches that had basically like no lights. And the ones I could use around like the slowest I had to do, I could use to stop the motion, was around 400th over 500th of a second. That's the only thing I can really tell. You have to really experiment and see how far of a blur you can take. Dark is not very good for focusing in general. It just isn't. The cameras are made to perform at a maximal performance in a nice, you know, lit place, and dark places just don't really do it. So you have to get used to how your camera works and how your camera responds to those kind of environment, and see like, okay, if I have to then like focus on this particular player, you want to maybe start focusing a bit earlier. So not when the big action is about to happen, but when you just kind of track him a bit. So the camera kind of reason the information as you're tracking. So when the big moment comes, then you can just, you know, release shutter and you get the picture. In any case, not a very easy thing to do. Understand that, you know, good luck, Nathan. And hopefully our tips will, you know, do you well. And we've also been inspired by this email. So you'll see what our UWIN theme will be for next month. But until then, thank you for listening to Masterclass. Not only is UWIN a monthly theme competition, it is your chance to bask yourself in sports photography limelight. Listeners pit their photos against one another for a chance to enter the kingdom of BLFS. And of course, win a t-shirt while you're at it. If you want to play along, pause this podcast. Now go to our Flickr group page and click on this month's UWIN thread. Will you win? Find out now. Probably not, but you never know. Okay, UWIN, which was a bit of a difficult one because we're asking for cheerleaders and or balls and some kind of an equipment. So next month it will be a bit straightforward and a bit easier, but people did participate. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Not the best UWIN we've had. And then, you know, I guess we just have to work with what we got. I'm even reluctant to say we even have first place, but I guess we'll have to give it to somebody if we have to. Well, let's see. Okay, Matt Cohen.
Third place, I have Nikos Vervaridis, soccer player jumping over the ball. I like that he went for, you know, something a little bit more abstract and didn't feel the need to get everything in the frame. Yeah, I mean, it, you know, it has a ball in it. That's really about it. It's, you know, it's not bad. I'm not making fun of his picture. I'm making fun of the theme and the overall quality of what we got for picking a bad theme. So,
yeah, it's my third place as well. I thought that we would actually get some more creative submissions and everything. I recruited him off the interwebs. It wasn't even submitted to us directly. I understand it wasn't the best of theme, but I guess we can blame Matt's wife for that. But, you know, we'll just have to see what we can do for next month. I'm sure she's not listening. So
she does listen.
It's her. Jackie, it's your fault. Okay, second place, Matt.
Second place, I have Bashar. This golfing picture that I really like it. You know, I like that he used the shadow, the bottom of the frame, and cut it off just above the shoes, and, you know, didn't try to go for the swinging, just went for a quiet moment before while the golfer was lining it up. So, yeah, this is pretty good.
And mine, see, this is what happens when we get really poor selections. We just tend to kind of line up and we choose the same pictures. You know, that's my second place as well. And it's, you know, I'm shooting golf for the next week and I got inspired a bit with that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bashar, second place. That's just really boring, this one. All right, first place.
Carlina, the
cheerleader running with flag. Split. Why this one first place?
I like the way the flag is cutting through almost exactly diagonally through the frame. I like that she's running pretty fast, and I like the panning. I like the you know, she's enjoying, she's having fun. It's not just, oh, this is what I have to do right now, like, she's into it.
But when I saw this one, I didn't really think it was a cheerleader picture. You know what I mean?
What do you think, she was pole vaulting?
No, I thought she was like this crazy girl with a flag on her hand and just, you know, running around like crazy. It's like, well, what is she doing here?
No, this, I don't know.
Because they're not wearing a skirt. They're not doing, like, it's not like a girl. It's not like a typical cheerleader outfit.
No, but it's, you know, she might not be strictly speaking a cheerleader, but she's leading a cheer.
We did ask for a cheerleader photo, Matt. This is a cheer person who is leading the cheer photo.
Listen, she's getting the crowd hyped up. I don't know what else you would call it other than a cheerleader.
Yeah, I mean, she's, I don't know, she's a bit too chunky as well, and I was like, I don't like this.
Wow.
Listen, I could have my preferences for the kind of woman that's going to be leading my cheer, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I just didn't want her to lead mine. Well, mine was Moat's photography, because I like that whole thing that he had on. And I really had to choose a cheerleading thing, because otherwise Matt's wife would get really angry at me. So I had to choose one, and this was it. I don't know. We can't have first place in this one, Matt. We can't. I feel really bad if we had a first place on this month.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, I like Bashar's picture infinitely more than your cheerleading picture.
Yeah, because it's a better picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why did Bashar's, you make picture Bashar's is... picture second and this one first?
Because I had to, like, have a cheerleading picture, no, one of them, you know,
nonsense,
you know what I mean?
No,
what should we do? Do we just call it even par and just, like, move on and people do something better next month? It's probably better, huh?
Yeah, I can't really, yeah. I don't know,
I'm not getting really excited about these selections we have, really, especially the cheerleader ones. Just not, I don't get sweaty and excited about any of these cheerleader pictures. Not that I wanted a sexy cheerleading picture. I wanted a good picture, and I just really didn't find any. So,
I wish Kenneth had, you know, had gone for it a little bit more in his picture.
Which one?
Well, he has a cheerleading picture.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and also Terry Sanders as well, you know? Like, I wish he could, like, you know, gone down lower or, like, shoot from the top. Like, do something. You know, there's so many things, like, same for J-Rash as well. Like, I wish he could have done this a bit more. Like, just, you know, maybe constant, like, very, like, only the hands or, you know, something to make it a bit more exciting, because he was that close,
yeah,
to the, you know, the scene, and he just, I don't know. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm, you know, no one's going to get a t-shirt this month. But, Matt Corwin, you have an interesting thing for next month, right?
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be for this month, but...
No, we can't do it this month. No one deserves it. I'm sorry.
So we've been talking a little bit. Where were we talking about this? On the blog? Or no, on Facebook.
And yeah, the copyright.
Yeah. Things. Ryu and I have both had situations where people decided that it was okay to use our pictures without paying us recently. And I shot a rodeo in July, and I was on my way there, and a fellow photographer called me and said, or asked me if I had licensed one of my pictures for a t-shirt, and I hadn't. And he said, I'm pretty sure this is one of your pictures on a t-shirt that I'm looking at right now. And he told me where to meet him, and we got there, and I went over, and there was just stacks and stacks of t-shirts with one of my rodeo pictures on them. It was kind of comical. My wife was taking pictures the whole time, and you know, I was arguing with this guy about, he was trying to pass the liability off to the guy who printed them, and I said, that's not really how copyright works. And we got into it, and I got his information, and we communicated over email, and eventually, this is not a guy that has a big business that I could force him to pay me a whole lot of money, so I got him to send me all of the remaining shirts, which ended up, it had a run of 200, and I ended up getting like 185 of them or something. So I have them sitting in my apartment right now, along with the screen art. So that was basically the settlement there. The winner of You Win, in addition to getting a Big Lens Fast Shutter t-shirt next month, will also get one of my bootleg rodeo t-shirts.
Fake Matt Corwin t-shirt.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah.
Well, it's a limited edition, but there's only going to be 185 of them out there in the world.
Yeah.
So you're very lucky if you win it. And Matt Corwin, what are we going to ask people to shoot
next month? Night. Shoot at night in the dark. Inside is okay, but no daylight.
Inside is okay unless we know, unless you can convince us it's actually a night game inside. We can try.
In general, show us that you have listened to what we were talking about here about things to do shooting inside. I don't want to see...
Not shooting inside, shooting in the evening.
Yes, that too. I don't want to see people, shooting on auto mode, and I don't want to see the sky properly exposed and the people's faces overexposed. Like, get it right and show us what you have.
We will accept... images from about like the blue stages of the evening, you know, when it gets a bit bluish, the sky, like dark blue. We'll accept it from there until moments before sunrise. I don't know, but you know, I'm just saying, just in general, if you're gonna have sports events during that time. But that's it.
Sports.
But you never know. People might be, I don't know, having flag football somewhere in the evening, right?
What about our Arctic Circle friends?
Well, I guess they have to wait till for the summer, right? I guess, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sorry. Next time then. Well, that is the conclusion for You Win this month. Good luck. And no t-shirts this month. I'm really sorry about that. So Matt, you had a bit of an idea about having some kind of a you win long.
Yeah, so instead of having a You Win that was focused on sports portraits, I figured we'll do a competition, but give people more time. Not everybody is real comfortable at this, and I want to give them a lot of opportunity to work on it, because a lot of this is when you're not shooting with somebody else's cooperation, it's easy. You just show up and shoot. But if you need somebody to be there and be wearing something and give you some time, you need some time to set that up and to make those kind of connections and then to make it happen. So I figure we're at the beginning of September, and if we extended out the deadline and, you know, separated it from You Win and just made it a separate competition, that we would maybe get some more entries. So what we're going to do is have it starting now until the end of the year. So that'll give you just shy of 4 months.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain the ground rules?
Yeah, the ground rules is that you need to have at least 3 photos of 3 different athletes, but with the same theme. What I mean with the same theme is that if you're going to have a black background for one athlete, then you have to have black background for all of them. If you're going to have some kind of you know, I don't know, brick background for one, then you have to have it for all the two other after that. You can have more than three, but at least three. We will accept, yeah, any entries, really. Be as creative as you can. People with local affiliations with their local teams and local schools will be a lot easier to probably do something like this, because then you can ask the athletes directly to do them. Like, for instance, I'll be very, very hard-pressed to do something like this where I am, because I don't really have any sort of affiliation with anything local. I can do with my own football team, but yeah, I guess it's not. Yeah, I guess I could do that. The other thing is that the UWIN will continue. Yeah, we're going to keep on doing UWIN as well. This, like Matt said, is going to be a month-long one from now on, the moment you listen to this podcast, until the end of the year. As for the prize, we haven't decided what we're going to give out, but it will be something nice. But like our definition of nice, not your definition of nice. Matt's gonna get. So yeah, don't call it a sportrait. This is a sports portrait competition. To participate in UWIN, go to flickr.com and search for Group Big Lens Fast Shutter. By the way, this hasn't worked for some time. For some reason, I'm asking Flickr to figure it out, and they haven't. So if you want to, if you just came here and saw this podcast for the first time, if you want to go and participate in UWIN, go to biglensfastshutter.com and click on one of the Flickr images, and you'll be able to go and find your way through to the Big Lens Fast Shutter group website. If you got problems, always email us and we'll get you to the proper group. And find the latest UWIN topic. Follow the directions, please do, because some people just put in the group pool and that's not going to get you into the competition. And post your picture and pray to God. Next month, it's evening sports.
If you came here looking for info on Training Ground, you are out of luck. Kind of, but not quite. We've moved it onto YouTube, and therefore you'll get to see your rewards and punishments on video. Go to youtube.com and search for Big Lens Fast Shutter, four separate words. And hopefully YouTube has better web engineers than Flickr does. Cross counter. Think we only say bad things about sports photography? You say we got no soul? Hell no. We're gonna prove you wrong with
cross counter.
Time to hold your fellow sports photographers' hands as we tell you why a specific sports photograph makes us quiver with joy.
And we got a question from Moltz Photographer. Like a month back, I think. It's like about 1 month ago. And it says, "Hello guys, I posted a sports portrait in Training Ground, table tennis player, and you may take this as a masterclass topic, okay? Sports portrait, team photos, and so on. Would appreciate any tips regarding this." And I told him basically that you should probably hit up on a portrait section on Flickr and ask questions there, because sports portraits and portraits are the same thing, because they're just portraits. But I came across some pictures that's been shot by this French dude on sumo wrestlers, and I thought this would be a very good cross counter because it's been shot very, very well. Here it is, so you can have a look if you're at home keeping score. Yeah, he shot on a black background. He shot sumo wrestlers probably after training. You can see that they've been training a lot, and you can see the dirt on them, and that's it. But it's shot very, very well. Black background kind of accentuates the skin tone. It's kind of got that, you know, bit of a silverish kind of thing going on. It's done very, very well. I like it. It's something that I will be like. I did do something similar with the Cuban baseball players. Yeah, my black background works very well, and also basically partial lighting. You can see from the pictures that you're hopefully seeing right now that it's not the entire body is not lit up. Parts of it is, and parts of it isn't. I'm assuming if you're doing some kind of a sports portrait, this is not something you can do all the time, because all your photos will look exactly the same. You start doing these sports portraits, but you could get them. Just a suggestion. If you're going to do something like this, you could get them right after training or right after a match. So where they're very, very dirty, where they got grass stains or they got bruises and all this kind of stuff, and you have them, you know, in a particular spot and you shoot them in a particular style. So the particular spot could be on the pitch or just could be a black background, whatever, but make sure your subject stands out against the background, because you don't want a really crazy background if you're just doing a portrait shoot. And hopefully you make the background almost exactly the same because you want this to be a portrait. And really, yeah, concentrate on the fact that they just had training or they just had a match. So it looks more real than a very clean cut, you know, I just ironed this shirt 2 minutes ago and everything smells like, you know, like roses type of shot. We don't want that. We want a bit more gritty type of thing. And how easy is it for you to just, like, you know, get them after a training or after a match?
Yeah, I like the tape on his big toes.
Sexy. White goes very, very well.
No, it kind of defines the edges, and I like that.
And you can see the other photos as well. That's really, you know, like, I think it's only one light that he's used. And it works very, very well. Got nice shadows, a lot of fat people. Can't go wrong with fat people. Never, never go wrong with fat. I'm gonna like start getting hate mails from fat people now again. I always do, don't I? Anyway,
this is a podcast for sports photographers, and you're making fun of fat people.
Yeah, I know. I always do that. I love fat people. I love them. I love them a lot. That's it for my my side of the cross counter, and yours.
Mine. I'm not a huge fan of the sportrait. I think that what Ryu was just saying, where they all look the same, it just ends up becoming an exercise in, you read strobes like everybody else does, and you set up your off-camera lights, and you shoot the guy in his clean uniform or something like that, and it just seems so divorced from sport to me. Like, is it a sportrait because the guy's wearing a uniform? Not to me. You know, you take portraits of a CEO and he's wearing a suit. Well, that's his uniform. If you're shooting sports, it should be more tied into what these guys do instead of just their face or something. Like, you can shoot a CEO talking on the phone, or you can shoot him at his computer or giving a speech or something like that. But all that stuff is boring and completely unrelated to sports. But if you're just shooting a baseball player holding a bat or a ball in front of his face or something like that, you're really sucking all of the excitement out of the fact that you shoot sports and you're shooting athletes. So the sumo one is cool because clearly this guy just came from training or even a match or something like that. You're incorporating more than just the person's face or more than just their uniform. So the one I picked is by Al Thielmans. I kind of embarrassed that I don't know how to say his name. He's legendary, shot for SI for decades at least. So the link to the site, you're gonna have to click through to the third picture, and it's a guy running on a track done at dusk, and it's lit, but it's also very slow shutter. I really like the combination of the natural light and the light, and I like that he showed motion and that he didn't go for something really obvious. This is what I'm talking about when I say do something other than a straight up headshot, because this guy is a sprinter. He sprints. Yeah, you can have him, we've all seen them, the same kind of lit portrait that all the other headshots are, but the guy's in his singlet and he's crouched in the starting blocks. Well, that's nice, and that's one step better than just a regular headshot. But what's happening here is way more. Like, this is clearly a portrait. It's just him. His face is really well defined, but it adds what he does to it. This is obviously not a competition picture, because you would never be able to do something like that in competition. So it's staged. It's a portrait. It's a feature picture, but he's incorporated the motion into it that shows, yeah, he's a runner and he's fast, and this is what it looks like when you shoot a picture of him. So that's why I like this one better than the traditional ones, or even the really corny ones where they're wearing a costume or something like that. I think this is, for me, what I want to see when I'm looking at a portrait of someone.
But how do you think it was shot, this one?
I think it was just a slow shutter with a, you know, really light setting on the flash, and it just popped off in the middle of the exposure.
Indeed it is. Yeah, it's something you can try as well. If you have a, you know, connection with a local high school or something, pre-dawn, that's what it says in the description, that's what it is. Like, you know, that's, I was talking about the whole blue thing, and yeah, this is when sky is just about to go black, and it's got the very blue sky going on. It's very beautiful. And it's, you can easy do this. You know, give it a try and see how it goes. I mean, I like this one, by the way, because I have to mention whether or not I like this or not. I do like this. Because the whole point of doing any kind of sport, I hate that. Can we just call it sports portrait? It's so, like, calling, like, photographer togs. No, let's don't be stupid here. I want people to be smart, lovely, beautiful sports photographers. I agree,
100%.
Yeah, so these sports portraits, you can do them. And yeah, maybe we will do a You Win on sport portraits in the future, because I think it's something that if people are interested in doing, I'd like to see how people, yeah, you know, come up with it. That's it with cross-country, and it's finished. And with that, we end episode 31, Big Lens Fast Shutter. That's about 3 years. Yeah. Can't do this without you, my beautiful listeners, and obviously Rob with two Bs, our wonderful, wonderful producer. Even if you're not as evil as Matt Cohen, please go to our Facebook page and like us. Better yet, do that and subscribe to our blog at biglensfastshutter.com so that you won't miss any of our latest and greatest hits. And if you love us even more, please rate this podcast on iTunes. And obviously, if you have that dollar in your pocket, please donate to us. To recap, Facebook, blog, iTunes, and donate. Rinse, repeat, love us more. See you next month. Rob, I'm sorry. It's episode 31. I'm so sorry. I'm so stupid sometimes. I can't count. This is episode 31. But please continue to love us and support us. Hallelujah. Or something like that. Whatever. Something you can say nice to people at the end of apologies like this. So, really sorry. It's episode 31 of Big Lens Fast Shutter. I hope you enjoy. And next one will be episode 32. Bye.